All right, tonight I'd like to share with you a lesson on forgiveness, both divine and human. We're going to contrast the difference and the similarities between divine forgiveness and human forgiveness. One of my favorite quotes is from Alexander Pope: to err is human, and to forgive is divine. So you know that. There's a sense that we choose to forgive when we imitate God in His forgiveness. When we make the choice to forgive others, we're imitating God. There's a truth to that. But there's another sense that our forgiveness with each other is not like God's forgiveness of us. In fact, in one way, God actually expects more of us than He does of Himself in forgiveness. And you might be surprised at this comment, but hear me out. The reason I say that is this. God commands that we forgive our brothers. He doesn't make it optional, right? He commands that we forgive others. You know the passage over at Matthew chapter 6? Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men your sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We know that passage. We realize the commands of God are to forgive each other. But you know, nowhere in Scripture does that I know of that the Bible teach that we are to fail to forgive them because they've not repented. Have you noticed that? But yet, in divine forgiveness, God requires repentance for us to receive divine forgiveness, doesn't He? Hang with me on this for a moment. If our forgiveness of others depended upon their repentance, then their own stubborn heart could keep me from obeying God's command to forgive them. In other words, if I need to forgive somebody and yet they won't repent, then I can't fulfill forgiveness if indeed forgiveness requires their repentance. Biblically speaking, divine forgiveness requires repentance. Human forgiveness does not. Think about that for a while. So was Alexander Pope right when he said, is to err is human and forgive divine? Or is our forgiveness of others really modeled after divine forgiveness? It is, but not completely. The similarities are many, but the difference is striking. So tonight's lesson, divine and human forgiveness, I'd like to show you that our forgiveness to each other is similar but not identical to divine forgiveness of our sins by God. First, let's talk about divine forgiveness. Judicial forgiveness is what I call divine forgiveness. Divine forgiveness of my sins begins and ends with the holiness of God. And we dare not forget who God is. He is Creator. He is sinless. He is pure. He is love. He is life. He is holy. The word holy means unique, not only in the moral sense, but also in the sense there's no being like Him. God's forgiveness of our sins is a judicial forgiveness of sin. He has a right to expect us to do His will because He is God. And therefore we violate His will. He forgives us judiciously as one who is above us, as one who makes the law. He is a judicial forgiver. He has the right to make the rules of the universe. He has the right to call what He believes sin to be as sin. It's His universe. We are His. He made the rules. So when we sin, we violate God's perfect standard, don't we? And you know the scripture, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. So when God forgives us of our sin, it's a matter of judicial forgiveness. The lawgiver forgives the lawbreaker. The superior one forgives the inferior one. We have sinned, broken the law, and fallen short of His glory. And divine forgiveness is judicial forgiveness. God forgives us for breaking His law. The superior forgives the inferior. Divine forgiveness is judicial forgiveness between a superior and an inferior being. Now let's contrast that to human forgiveness. I'm going to call human forgiveness relational forgiveness. We do mirror God's love in our choice to forgive. There's no question that. And again, the similarities between God's forgiveness and our forgiveness are many. If I was to illustrate it with my hands, I would say, if you look at it, it's like you've got five different points that could meet. Four meet. But the requirement of repentance is different. Relational forgiveness is human forgiveness. We mirror God's love in our choice to forgive, but our forgiveness of each other is different from God's forgiveness of us because we are not divine. God's judicial forgiveness of our sins comes from a relationship with us as his creator. He's superior to us. In human forgiveness, we forgive one who is equally human with us. We might call human forgiveness relational forgiveness in juxtaposition to divine forgiveness, which is judicial forgiveness. As human beings, we forgive each other based on our relationship as equals. We're all equal in the human race, right? You got blood flowing in your veins, you're equal with me, I'm equal with you. We all have value, same value before God and each other. If you don't have blood flowing in your veins, I guess that illustration breaks down, but I think most of us qualify. Amen? Okay. Just so we're on the same page. Where we get in trouble with relational forgiveness of our brothers is we start playing God in their life and treating others as less than ourselves instead of equal with ourselves. In a nutshell, the difference between divine forgiveness and relational human forgiveness is that divine forgiveness is judicial and human forgiveness is relational. Divine forgiveness is the forgiveness of the maker of his creation, us. Relational forgiveness is relationship forgiveness of those who are equal, and we all sin, and therefore we all need to be forgiven by each other. Obviously, God does not sin, and therefore there's a difference between divine and human relationship. Forgiveness. A strong dose of humility, of course, will all help us in forgiving each other. It's our pride that causes me to say, I don't want to forgive you, and I'm going to play God in your life. And if I start playing God in your life, guess what I've done? I put myself over you, and I've destroyed the equality that we have as human beings, right? Romans chapter 12 and verse 19 reminds us that that kind of forgiveness is God's prerogative alone. It says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord, the Lord. So let's not try to do God's work for him. Leave judicial forgiveness to God. We need to work on the relationship forgiveness. Judicial forgiveness is the superior forgiving the inferior. Relational forgiveness is the equal forgiving each other as human beings. Now, if I've made that point, let me move on to understanding some other nuances of human forgiveness. Here are some common misunderstandings that we hear about forgiveness. Somebody says, well, forgive means to forget, right? Forgive and forget. You may have forgiven a person for something that they did against you, but does that mean the memory is suddenly erased? No, memory's still there. You don't forget about the pain. You don't forget about the situation. You just choose not to hold it to break a relationship. Forgiving does not mean a literal forgetting. God forgives our sins, and he remembers them against us no more. But that doesn't mean that they are totally forgotten from his mind. Well, how can you say that, Mar? Well, think of David and his sin with Bathsheba, right? David committed adultery, then went off and had her husband murdered, basically. How do we know about that? Well, it's in his word, isn't it? Well, how did it get in his word? His Holy Spirit inspired the writers, right? God did not forget the event happened. He simply no longer held it against David. God forgave David. Hebrews 8:12 quotes back from Jeremiah 31, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. But that doesn't mean that there's no knowledge of them. It just means it's not on the book anymore. It's no longer held against us. And when you forgive our brother, it doesn't mean that you will forget the pain. It means you no longer let the pains of the past forbid the opportunity for the future. second often common misunderstanding of forgiveness. Somebody says, well, forgiveness just means you condone wrong actions. You just approve wrong actions. If you forgive somebody does something wrong against you and you forgive them, you just condone their wrong action. No. Forgiveness is not calling black white and wrong right. Forgiveness is not condoning sin. Jesus told the woman caught in the act of adultery, go your way and what? Sin no more. Forgiveness is not approving wrong actions. That woman was guilty of sin. Jesus was clear about it. But yet she was forgiven by Christ and told not to sin again. A third misconception of forgiveness among humans, forgiveness does not minimize the pain or the damage caused. Sometimes we go too far on this extreme and we think that when we forgive someone, we have simply said, oh, well, it didn't really hurt. Now, was that what Jesus said on the cross? The nails didn't really hurt. The scourging wasn't too bad either. Is that what Jesus said on the cross? No. He did not deny the reality of the pain and the event. Jesus experienced tremendous pain. But to forgive is not to minimize pain as if it didn't exist. Forgiveness is not easy escapism. Forgiveness faces pain squarely, but chooses not to allow the pains of the past to keep us from the future relationship. Because what did Jesus say is a word of forgiveness on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgiveness does not minimize the pain. It just moves beyond it. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love keeps no record of wrongs. You know what I'm saying? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Number four, you may count right here. A fourth misconception of forgiveness is forgiveness is not pardoning what someone did. A pardon is a legal transaction. A pardon shows that one person is above another. We don't have the authority to do that. Now, God exercises pardon and forgiveness because he is above us, right? But as human beings, we don't pardon each other in the judicial sense of the word. Number five, another misunderstanding of human forgiveness is forgiveness does not always bring about a complete reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation are two things that are not always the same. How many people does it take to reconcile? Two. How many people does it take to forgive? One. You know that difference? Because if it took two people to forgive, guess what would happen? If one of them says, no, I'm not going to forgive, that's keeping you from fulfilling God's will when we're commanded to forgive each other, right? It takes two to reconcile. It takes only one to forgive. So forgiveness does not always bring about a complete reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The reconciliation takes two. God has voted for my salvation, but I have to vote that I want it in order to be reconciled with God. How do I vote that I want my salvation? By repenting and being baptized, right? I tell God, I want your salvation. I accept your offer. Reconciliation takes two. Forgiveness actually only takes one. Furthermore, in some events, reconciliation may be impossible or undesirable. It might be unwise. For example, someone may be able to forgive someone that molested them, but reconciliation with that person may not be a healthy choice. There are cases that you can forgive, but it's unwise to reconcile. So that covers some of the mistakes we often make about understanding forgiveness. Next, I move to the question, what is relational forgiveness? Remember, relational is person-to-person forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is a choice we make. It's a choice to keep no record of wrongs. It's a choice not to keep a little black book about the last time you did this to me. Our feelings will eventually follow our decision to forgive. It may take a while until those feelings catch up, but our decision to forgive is primary. In the decision to forgive, we decide to let go and quit playing God in someone's life and not let the pains of the past preclude the possibilities of the future. Secondly, relational forgiveness gives up on vengeance. As we saw earlier in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, where the Bible says, don't take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God's wrath. You see, if I take revenge, I'm stealing God's job from him. Have you thought about it that way? Vengeance is God's job. It's not Mark's job. It's God's job. Vengeance against sin and vengeance against someone who's hurt me is God's job. It's not my job. Number three, forgiveness gives me on the gossiping about sin. I understand when we're initially hurt, we need to unload and talk to somebody. I understand that. But when we keep talking about it and keep talking about it and keep talking about it, does that indicate health or unhealth? It indicates unhealth when we just keep on talking about it. It's a little like anger. Sometimes we have to express our emotional anger. In appropriate ways, yes, but we need to express our emotional anger. But if you keep on expressing it and expressing it and expressing it, is that healthy? No. Forgiveness is a lot like that. We need to get it on and get on with life. So forgiveness gives up on vengeance, and forgiveness also gives up on gossiping about the sin. I might need to talk to somebody short term, get it off my chest, but then we don't keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. If we continue to share the pain, it develops into resentment. In fact, the word resentment comes from a word meaning to refeel. Why would I want to refeel the pain that someone has caused me? Why do I refeel that pain? One reason is because I want to feel morally superior to them, that I'm above them. They did this awful thing to me, and you know, I'm just going to keep remembering that so I can remember that I'm better and they're way down here. Remember, as Christians, we're on that even plane of relational forgiveness. We're not exercising judicial forgiveness. Number four, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is gracious. The Greek word translated forbearance or tolerance has this idea in mind. It comes from a root meaning the opposite of being overly rigorous or judgmental. The idea is not to make a strong stand against your enemy when you're in the right. Graciousness is learning to say, we move on. It's okay. I'm beyond that. It's a lot like having a meekness. You know what meekness is? Having a V8 under the engine and, you know, just moving away from the stoplight gently. That's meekness. Strength under control. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. That gentleness is part of forgiveness, graciousness. Number five, what is forgiveness? It's an absence of bitterness. Bitterness is a chosen attitude. It's holding a grudge. It's a costly mistake to hold on to bitterness. And we all know that. But we're also tempted to do it. Again, we're seeking that moral superiority over the one that we're bitter against. Over in Genesis 27, it states that Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. Now, admittedly, Esau had a little bit of a reason for an axe to grind against Jacob, didn't he? Jacob had basically stolen his birthright. But no wonder Ephesians 4:30 tells us to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Because true forgiveness is the absence of bitterness. We decide to let go. And although we've chosen to forgive, forgiveness isn't really optional. It's a matter of spiritual life and death. Jesus told us that in the passage I just read, the first of the sermon, Matthew 6. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. That's pretty clear, isn't it? My forgiveness on an ongoing basis before God depends on my willingness to forgive my brothers on this earth. While everything in me wants to hold a grudge, point a finger, and remember the pain, God says lay it aside, and that's forgiveness. And it's hard. And it's a process. And it's something we often have to come back to time and time again before we get a handle on it. We quit gossiping about how we were hurt. We choose to give up on vengeance. We choose to be gracious. We let go of bitterness. We don't minimize the pain. But we're not forgetting the event. We lay it aside. And we've refused to play God in someone's life over them. And that's forgiveness. But let's remember, divine forgiveness is judicial. Human relational forgiveness is not judicial. But in the Creator's auspices as Creator, He has the right, He is above us, to issue judicial forgiveness. It is a pardon that comes through atonement, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul reminds us, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God instigated our forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus with a high price, the price for the blood of his Son. This evening, as we close our thoughts together, I ask, have you received God's forgiveness offered through the blood of Jesus Christ? That forgiveness is free, but it wasn't cheap. The pain of the cross was real for Jesus. He never minimized that. He simply endured it because of the joy set before him. And sometimes in our relationships with each other, we forget that we have to endure some crosses of emotional pain to get the joy that's set before us in a relationship. But how is your relationship with the Lord? If you need to respond to his call, become a Christian through faith, repentance, and baptism, if you need the prayers of the body of Christ, we invite you to the one who wrote the book on forgiveness, and that's our Lord. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Let's stand together.